Did he purchase
it? Oh, you know, with all these people...
That I didn't know. Oh, no, I
remember. The R-1015 have arrived. We'll call the House Tax Committee to order when we have a quorum. But we will get started here. So let's start with Representative Keel. When we have a quorum, I will move House File 917. I don't believe there's any amendments, or is there?
No.
No amendments on that. Okay, so members, we're looking at House File 917. We did have a quorum, so we will not be actually officially moving the bill at this point. Okay, so to your bill, welcome, Committee Representative Keel.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. House File 917 is a requested pilot program. It is for a residential biomass heating system that have been built in my district, one in Red Lake Falls, one in Greenbush, and I think I lacked one. Representative Fagan's got two in his district. And a great way when the heating got to be challenging that they built these heaters that are all over and needed some updating. With me today is Mr. Chris Turson, who works for Central Boiler out of Greenbush, and I'm going to let him explain exactly what we're requesting here.
Okay, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Christopher Turson. I work in corporate relations for Central Boiler. We are a manufacturer of hydronic heaters up in Greenbush, Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Logan O'Grady. I'm the Director of Policy at Clean Energy Economy Minnesota. Quickly, for those who are unfamiliar with CLEAN, we are an industry-led nonprofit organization dedicated to strengthening Minnesota's clean energy business ecosystem. Our goal is to advance clean energy job growth through investments in innovation here in Minnesota. I'll just start quickly and say that CM supports this bill for three reasons. One, it expands consumer choice. Two, it provides consumer stability. And three, it supports Minnesota's growing clean energy economy. So first, 250,000 Minnesotans don't have access to natural gas. If you don't have access to natural gas, you have only a few options, fuel oil and propane. And then this bill would help on the third option, which is wood. Second, consumer stability. As we know, propane and fuel oil are often volatile, and shortages in the winter put Minnesota families in tough spots. Wood is a stable and predictable source, and wood also helps families with their own energy independence. And then third, we support this bill because it supports Minnesota's clean energy economy. Over 35,000 Minnesotans work within the clean energy industry here in Minnesota. It's an industry that is growing four times faster than the overall economy. This bill supports local businesses, local jobs, and Minnesota families. And just to finish and talk a little bit about the statewide significance of this bill, Hennepin County is actually the second largest county per capita who lack access to natural gas. So it not only helps people in Representative Keel's district, but also down here in the metro. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we do have a quorum member, so I'll officially call the House Tax Committee to order. Representative Schultz moves the minutes of Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. Any additions or corrections? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Schultz. We now have before us, I will move House File 917, Representative Peel. And just to get a lay of the land here, we have two proponents here. Is there anyone else from the audience that would like to testify on behalf of the bill? Anyone with concerns? Would the department like to testify?
Not at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Cummings.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, to the next witness. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Excuse me. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Chris Church, and I work in corporate relations for Central Boiler, located in Greenbush, Minnesota. Representative Keel did say that we are not the only manufacturer of hydronic heaters in Minnesota. There's Woodmaster, located in Red Lake Falls, and Heatmore, which is located in Warwick. Just to clarify, a hydronic heater is different from a wood stove. A hydronic heater is placed outside the home. It's an independent unit that hooks into an existing heating system and allows a person to burn wood during the winter and heat their home, the entire home, rather than a room that a wood stove was. As an industry, back in the mid-2000s, we entered into a voluntary partnership agreement with the Equal Protection United States EPA to produce cleaner, more efficient appliances. So that program began in 2007. So today we are producing appliances that are 90% cleaner. They're a lot more efficient in terms of burning wood. However, the costs of complying with that program have now increased the cost of our units. And we support this bill for the fact that our consumers out there who are relying upon wood heat to heat their homes, don't have access to natural gas, are now faced with a much more expensive product when they want to go into the marketplace and get the newer appliances into their homes. And so we believe that this bill makes sense. It adds an incentive to Minnesota consumers, people who heat, to get into the newer, cleaner appliances. One of the handouts which was given to the committee is from the Hearth, Patio, and Barbecue Association, which we are a member of. And it shows that these programs, these incentives, are in place all across the United States, Washington, Idaho, Montana. What we are trying to do is to transfer the new technology in wood heat, modern wood heat, into the marketplace. And you are having consumers who are most likely rural, relying upon, who don't have the money when they walk into the marketplace to replace their old unit with the newer, cleaner unit. And so what we are trying to prevent is them to possibly, go back and instead of buying a new unit, they might go back and say, you know, if I can just weld this up or repair it. And the emissions are going to be a lot worse because of that. So we feel that that this bill would go a long way towards helping our business to sell those products. As of 2015, we are no longer allowed to build what's called older furnaces. Everything that we sell now is certified through the EPA. And this bill makes sense for the consumers out there who simply want to get into the newer, cleaner, and more efficient appliances.
Thank you. You mentioned Red Lake Falls. How far is that from Brooks?
I think it's about 8 miles.
Are they in the same school district as Red Lake Falls?
No.
Where are they?
Red Lake Falls has a school district, and Brooks is Norman, or, Red Lake County Central, I think it is. Red Lake County Central.
Brooks is a nice town. I like Brooks.
It is. It is a very nice town.
Okay. So, with that being said, any questions for Mr. Turrison, Mr. O'Grady, or the author? Chair Carlson.
I have a question. I have a friend, when he retired, he built a house up in Silver Bay. And in the teacher's lounge, he would talk about his project, if you will, and he had put in what I call a dual-purpose furnace that would be both wood and, I guess, under certain circumstances, knowing the Silver Bay area, it probably was propane, but whatever his other source was. So are they being manufactured today, and would they qualify for the credit if it was a dual-purpose?
Mr. Jerson?
Chair, we used to make one that would hook into propane, but we've gone to a more solo unit. See, the purpose of it is that it hooks into an existing system, so that's your backup. So if they have a propane system inside their home, so I don't think that we manufacture anything that would be considered a dual any longer. But I think they were in the marketplace for a while. But.
Sure, Carlson.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chair, I was picking up on when you talked about dual purpose in your testimony, and that happened to think of what he talked about at the time. He was quite interested in that because there were times when they wouldn't be at their lake home by Lake Superior, and then it was converted to the other source, propane or something. But thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Mr. O'Grady, to that point, the Carlson point?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, I think how the bill is currently written, I don't know if they would qualify, but we certainly could discuss the possibility of adding language to make a dual fuel eligible.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it all sounded like they maybe don't even manufacture them anymore. I'm not going to press that point, but thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just wondering, does the Lampa manufacturing stoves up in Tower, who have also met those similar criterion and made the investments to do that and had additional cost as well, do they qualify with their products for this?
Mr. Turson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mitza, I believe that they would because the language does say if they are EPA certified. The Lampa manufacturer, they make what's called a wood furnace. It's an air furnace, so it's a little bit of a different, it's treated differently under the rules of the EPA, but if they qualify under the EPA rules certification, then they would qualify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we could just make sure that that language is in there. I know they went through very similar struggles. They did receive the EPA, and they're one of the few companies like yourself who have for this type of usage. So, but thank you.
Thank you, Representative Metz. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to testify, I'm just curious. I know that a few years ago, biomass included more than just wood, because wood is just the most prevalent area. Do you know if there's any research on, especially outside boilers, that might use things like straw or corn stalks? Because I know at one time they were exploring that option.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, under the 2015 new source performance standards, it is restricted, certification is restricted to wood only. And I know one of our pellet units, you could use corn. There's a lot of research going into that, into using that. But as far as our appliances, they are certified to wood only. So if we wanted to certify to corn, we'd have to come up with a testing for corn or straw or something to that effect.
Representative Petersburg. Any other questions for the two testifiers or the author? Representative Keel, would you like to wrap it up?
I would ask that you support the bill. I would add, this happened beforehand, but just a little FYI. The Red Lake Falls Company sold to our school district when I was on the school board, one of their burners, and we were able to burn sunflower hulls that the sunflower plant needed to get rid of. And so it was a real win-win for us as a school district because we heated our swimming pool. In fact, they had to really turn it down because it got too warm for the swim team. But we didn't want to cook them. No, I'm
sorry.
But it really, they don't do that anymore. But it and it's the older version, so now they can't do that. But it was a great way of a win-win for the school district and also for the business. So, yeah.
Isn't it the Red Lake Falls Eagles?
It is. I'm impressed with how much you know about Red Lake County.
Yeah, I love Red Lake County.
It's the only county that does not have a stop. No, it is one of the counties that does not have a stoplight in the entire county.
My kind of county. Okay. Yeah. So with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 917 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you very much to the testifiers and to the author. We'll go next to House File 2508, which I will move. So I'll move House File 2508. I have an H2508A1 amendment.
Yeah.
Welcome to the committee, Representative Fenton. Is the amendment yours?
The amendment is mine, and I'd like somebody to move it to put the bill in the author's shape.
Okay, so I'll move House File 2508. I'll move House File 2508A1 amendment. Discussion. It's an author's amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill as amended before us, a two-year bill, Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And first of all, thank you, Mr. Chair, for being a co-sponsor of this bill for me. I know I've jokingly called you Disney Davids, but we like the film industry.
Now, that's
so
the nicest thing I've been called today, by the way. So.
House File 2508 is regarding the refundable film production credit, and with me today, I would like to turn it over to the new executive director for the Minnesota film and TV industry, Melody Behan.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Melody Bahan, and I have been the Executive Director of Minnesota Film and TV since June of 2017.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Seniority has its rewards.
Thank you for allowing me to testify in support of House File 2508. Minnesota Film and TV is our state's nonprofit film commission with a mission to advance Minnesota's economy by promoting and supporting the state's production industry. We are one of only two states in the country whose film commission is a nonprofit organization and not a state agency. Some of you have recently received a letter from me outlining the spending in your district tied to the snowbait incentive by Film and TV Productions. These are dollars that go directly to Minnesota businesses, and over the last 6 years, the investment in the incentive program has resulted in close to $90 million in spending in our state. The film and TV industry has changed significantly, though, since the years when major movies like The Mighty Ducks and Grumpy Old Men were shot in Minnesota. And the major change has been the introduction of production incentives in the late 1990s. Networks, studios, and producers use incentives to increase the number of projects they can produce in order to meet the ever-increasing demand for content. Incentives in the form of a rebate or a tax credit are tools used by more than 30 states as part of their economic development strategy. Increased production results in increased demand for labor in the form of high-wage, middle-class jobs and increased spending on things like hotels, restaurants, equipment, building supplies, and more. The bill currently under consideration will add an additional tool in the form of a tax credit that will allow Minnesota to compete with states like Utah, New Mexico, and Louisiana. While Minnesota has maintained a small but solid industry in recent years, producing commercials, cable TV shows, and independent feature films, we are poised to take advantage of the current explosion in spending on original content. Netflix spent $6.3 billion on original content in 2017. Amazon is expected to spend $5 billion this year. This puts them on par with traditional studios like Disney, Fox, NBC Universal, and Time Warner, which spend between $8 and $10 billion annually. We know from discussions as recent as last week that there is a desire to locate film and TV projects in Minnesota. We have the locations, the seasons, the professional crew, and the talent. But we need to create a competitive, stable incentive program that allows companies like Disney and Netflix to invest their production dollars here. The addition of a tax credit incentive will signal that Minnesota is ready to do business. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and this might be off the bill, but I was just wondering, how do you, you're not a state agency, how do you do like fundraising, or how do you make your budget? What are your sources of income? Or
The snowbait incentive is funded by an appropriation to the Department of Economic Employment and Economic Development. We administer those funds, and we do receive some operating funds off of that, but we fundraise like any nonprofit.
Okay, fundraising, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for the witness or the author? Any questions? I think this is pretty straightforward. Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the author, Ms. Representative Fenton, or the testifier, should this become a law, will it insist that local talent is being used? For example, I have a friend in my district, Milo Durbin. Maybe you've heard of him, worked in the film industry. Good friend, but there has been occasions in Minnesota, and even Explore Minnesota has done filming in Minnesota and used out-of-state vendors. Imagine that, Explore Minnesota to promote Minnesota used out-of-state grips and photographers and boom operators and all of that to film in Minnesota to promote Minnesota. They didn't even promote Minnesota. No photographer there. They didn't hire me either. So I would want to ensure that if Disney or whomever comes into here to Minnesota to film and takes advantage of our generosity, if that's the case, uses Minnesota talent and not out-of-state talent.
To the author.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. To the author.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative McDonald, quite a bit of the talent is here, and I'll let Melody speak to that. But, for example, the most recent movie that was filmed here was Wilson, and a lot of the talent outside of the big name actors were actually local talent. They also use local crew, grip. They're using our restaurants, our caterers. But I will allow Melody to speak more in depth to that. Mr. Chair, Representative McDonald, the way the rules work around the incentive programs is that only spending on Minnesota wages for Minnesota residents is what qualifies for the incentive. So the rules are very clear that the money that qualifies for the incentive program is only Minnesota spending. That's Minnesota residents, Minnesota vendors, Minnesota businesses, that sort of thing.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you very much for that answer. I'm very aware of what happens when a film company comes into Minnesota. They filmed A Simple Plan in Delano right in front of my studio right in downtown. And certainly all of our local restaurants and gas stations did well from that. So it does create economic engines, some wealth within a district or a city for the state. But I'm curious, this question is for Mr. Michael. How does this film credit work? Let's say a film company comes into Minnesota to spend a $10 million or $15 million budget, a production budget. How does that money get back to them in this film credit?
Mr. Michael.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McDonald, we don't have one of these now. The program that we have now is a direct spending program, so they simply pay rebates. This proposes a refundable credit, so it's not necessary that they show that they have Minnesota tax liability. It's just a percentage of the qualifying expenditures that essentially receive the 25% credit. So they would file a tax return that presumably a form would be created that would document the fact that they have those qualifying expenses in. And then, in turn, would get a refund from the Department of Revenue.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. So if continue on much further, but so if they spend a $10 million appropriation, they get, 25% of that back as a tax credit. Is that correct?
Mr. Michael.
Refundable credit?
Mr. Chairman, that is the way the bill is written. It's 25% of the film production and post-production expenditures in Minnesota that are directly attributable to that film production. So if they actually spent $10 million of those kinds of things in Minnesota, that's what they would qualify for a credit on. Now, I believe the witnesses can talk to the direct spending program. That has different credit rates, and it's administered differently than this. So if you were to, if the legislature were instead to just allocate more money to that program, it would be handled somewhat differently than this, which is like an entitlement, whereas I believe that program has some discretion, but I don't really know about it.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Just know.
Thank you. Appreciate that. If you do watch The Simple Plan, you'll see yours truly is a little cameo part in that. It was an Academy Award-winning performance. It lasted 6 seconds in that film. So, Mr. Chairman,
can I get your autograph?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Bertoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And how would the industry feel about a royalty on the movie receipts until the investment credit is recaptured?
Ms. Behan?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is not something I'm familiar with in any other state. I'd certainly be happy to look into it and get back to you with an answer.
Representative Hurtas?
Thank you.
Okay. This committee is here to help, and thought of a movie title you could have. You could bring the crews down to Preston, and it could be The Grumpiest Old Man. So with that, any other questions for the author or the testifier?
Okay, Walter.
Okay, with that, would you like to wrap it up, Representative Fenton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Thank you for your time. I think there's a good opportunity here. Some of you, maybe some of the members met. There was a producer in town a few weeks back along with the vice president of production. Minnesota has really been on the map. Jimmy Fallon did a show here. I think that was through some a small grant through the Snowgate program. But one thing that comes along with this when they do the movies is a plug for tourism as well. A lot of these producers and directors will allow clips to be used to promote Minnesota tourism as well. So I'd like your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Fenton. And to your testifier, I'll renew my motion that House File 2508, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you very much. Item next and item last. And so let's just review tomorrow's meeting a little bit as Chairman Erdahl comes to the table here. The bill's up, House File 1535, Fabian, 3584, Representative Pugh, Representative Loon, 3793 and 3494, David's bill. So that's our agenda for tomorrow. Welcome to the committee, Chairman Erdahl. I will move House File 3093. And is the amendment, the H3093A1 amendment, yours, Chairman?
Yes.
Okay, so I will move the H3093A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill as amended before us, 2-year bill, Chairman Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first of all, I think it would be a very good idea to have a movie made in Preston with you as a star.
What? Who said it was me?
Well, that was my suggestion. And, you know, you could give Representative McDonald a small part. I think that'd be good.
That'd be great.
All right.
Erdahl, Bill has met.
Yes. Last year, you recall, we did a bill that established a incentive for teachers to get a master's degree in what they teach in their content area. And this is simply a small addition to that. Over the summer, it was brought to my attention that it was difficult for special education teachers to be able to be included in this, and so we have made some adjustments, and all this bill does doesn't even change the cost very much that had already been appropriated. This just puts in special education teachers.
Okay, thank you very much. To get a lay of the land here, is there anyone other than the witness at the table who wish to testify on behalf of the bill? Anyone with concerns? Would the department wish to?
Not at this time.
Okay, and Mr. Cummings, I apologize to you. I don't think I asked for department input on the Fenton bill. Did you have any comments on that we can go to?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cummings. Okay, with that, to your witness, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
I'm John Klager. I'm the Executive Director for the Minnesota Administrators for Special Education.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members, as you're aware, the school districts are increasingly challenged by the lack of qualified teachers to serve with children with disabilities. That's especially the case for teachers needed to serve children with the most significant challenges, especially in autism, cognitive disabilities, and emotional behavioral disorders. Additionally, finding early childhood special education teachers is also a significant need. This bill is one of many efforts that we will need to put into place over time to recruit and retain a qualified work pool. We recognize that we have within our teaching core individuals that have in particular a broad or a generic special education license, and we need to encourage them to be willing to take on the additional challenge of acquiring more specialized licenses in order to serve that population of kids. If you think of the most involved students in your communities, they are served by individuals with specialized training, and this bill provides some tax relief for those individuals to take on that additional cost. In addition to these efforts, you will be aware that your districts are working on growing your own processes. They're working on trying to set up scholarship funds. They are, in many cases, also recruiting both inside but also outside the state to bring individuals with this training. We are additionally working on efforts to encourage now high school juniors and seniors to consider becoming special education teachers and trying to recruit them into that profession. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for the witness? Any questions for the author? Representative Loeffler, and then Carlson. Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you to David's and Representative Erdahl. I think this expansion is good. We know there's a real shortage in people stepping up to serve people in special education. And but I have heard also from teachers and school administrators about the challenges of. And we've made it easier in legislation passed last year for people who don't have traditional teaching licenses to gain a teacher's license. They may have a master's in the area, so they may have good subject mastery, but may not have ever taken a class on classroom management, child and teen brain development, you know, the kinds of curriculum development, the kinds of things that there's also good research on. And I have heard that that it would be really advantageous for some of those teachers to be able to pursue a master's and start to pick up that academic research-based knowledge that they didn't get in their undergraduate experience. And I was wondering, Representative Erdahl, if you have thought about expanding it also to those people, because they're clearly stepping up to the teacher shortage with a non-traditional background, but have not been exposed to any of the research and the learning that you get in a typical program in terms of how to be the most effective teacher you can be.
Ms. Chairman and Representative Loeffler, I'm not quite sure what that question is, but if it is what I think it is, it is the opposite of what I'm trying to do in some respects. What I'm trying to get away from is a situation where teachers are getting degrees in pedagogy, master's degrees in pedagogy, or master's degrees in educational programming or something. I'm trying to focus not on those types of things, but following the Finnish model of education, encouraging that they get a master's degree in what they teach. That's the impetus of what I did with this last year. I recognize that with special education, there may be, maybe it is important in this case, and I guess I could include if there are areas where the pedagogy is really important in terms of what you're teaching, to look at that. And in special education, the students that you're dealing with, learning how to teach them, in this case, is important. So that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Representative Loeffler?
Well, thank you. I'm just bringing forward, I think, an issue that is becoming greater, and I know a number of people who have changed careers. Who have become experts in their field, but want to become teacher, be in the classroom, but who really feel like they need to pick up that extra training to be really effective, and they are stepping up in some areas to fill teaching shortages.
Chair Erdahl. Chair Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, when I look at the language here, and I'm interested in some clarification, the language originally was an area directly related to a qualified teacher's licensure, and now we're inserting or in special education. So I'll use, Representative Erdahl, your field and mine as an example. We're licensed social studies teachers as undergraduate students, and let's say we would have wanted to get a master's in special education. Would this law cover that situation?
Chairman Erdahl?
But we'd be essentially changing the focus of our teaching. Maybe a better example, we were going through in Minneapolis a few years back when I was still an active teacher, and we had an English teacher that was going to be laid off because of declining enrollment. So he went back to school and picked up a special ed certification, earned his master's degree in special ed, and that enabled him to retain his job because there was a demand for special ed teachers and they were laying off people in his field. So I'm just kind of wondering how that works with the old language there directly related to their current licensure, because you'd be picking up an additional licensure with special ed. And I like the goal. If I hope it qualifies for somebody that would be, in a sense, a licensed teacher changing their field, you know, to work in special ed, because that's where our demand is.
Chairman Erdahl?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, first of all, and I thank Representative Dabney for this actually came from your suggestion. Mm-hmm. If you are, as we were, you know, social studies teachers, the goal in this is for those teachers to get degrees in their content area. If you want to do something different, if you want to change the special education, then you have to follow the stipulations regarding that degree. And in this case, it is slightly different from the intent of the other of last year's bill, simply because they recognize that there are some particular requirements that should be in this for special education. Again, the impetus in doing this was to stay away from some of the things that I'm actually allowing for special education, but I think that this is has particular needs that are different from the other degrees.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify then, you and I are both retired, so it doesn't impact on us individually, but your undergraduate degree in social studies, you decide to teach in special ed, you'd be qualified if we were both active teachers. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in that?
Yep. Chairman Erdahl, isn't this in the field that your current degree is in?
Yes.
So that wouldn't work?
No. It's in your where your degree is. So if your degree is in special education, then this would apply for getting a master's. If your degree is in English or math or history, then it wouldn't.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's what I wanted to have clarified, because I think my goal, because of the shortage in special ed, would probably have been a little bit different, but it would provide an opportunity then for somebody that's already licensed in special ed, is what you're saying, to get the master's degree and get the...
Yes, you have to be licensed currently. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair.
Okay, Chair Carlson?
No, I think we've clarified that. My goal would have been a little different than his, but it's an expansion of opportunity.
That's the way it's been in life, Mr. Chairman. Representative Carlson and I sometimes have different goals, but, you know, we work it out.
But sometimes you've been on panels together, Mr. Chairman, and you'd be surprised at the amount of agreement.
Really not that much.
I'll stay out of this one.
Mr. Chairman, just probably because of the other side of the room there, he probably doesn't want to admit it, but that's fine.
Okay, with that, any other questions for the witness or the author on House File 3093 as amended? If not, I'll renew my motion on House File 3093 as amended, be later for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, members, for your work today.
Thank you,
Chair Erdahl, and to the witness. With that, good government all the time. We are adjourned.